Hey guys, what's up? Season 2. This is going to be a fun one. My guest today was improviser Jackie Cosgrove, somebody I've known for a long time, so I was really excited to get in here. I don't want to waste any time, and I'm not popular enough for advertisements, so let's get right into it. Night Cafe, Episode 9, Jackie Cosgrove.
Like a fun thing for most people to hear, like, yeah. People go on and on and on about. But this is the space for that. Like, yeah. So you've prepared a list of a bunch of 5 things.
Yeah.
There's no order to them. Like, so a lot of people get stressed, like, what's the number one thing? Like,
right,
these are just, like, 5 things you can kind of present. But
yeah.
And they're not, like, the only 5, obviously, but they're your 5.
Yeah.
And it's best if we just get it right into it, so.
Okay, let me just preamble just a tip. But what I was going to say is just that when I was thinking about these, I was really, like, digging what you were saying about, like, people coming with some really specific ones, like a certain movie or a certain actor, and I was like, oh, there's got to be, like, a strong female, like, animated character that I've always loved and, like, always... And there is, but the truth is that, like... I couldn't really come up with a name for one. Like, I wish it was Pocahontas.
But, like, wish it was Pocahontas specifically.
I always liked her, but I thought of other ones, is all I'm saying. Pocahontas didn't make the list.
Okay, so no Pocahontas.
Yeah.
But we are going to talk about some other stuff.
Yes. Well, I guess I want to start with Halloween.
Halloween the holiday,
yeah.
Right? Not Halloween the movie. I couldn't think of a movie, and then I thought of Jamie Lee Curtis.
Yeah, and just, like, murder.
Yeah, so Halloween, but that's kind of part of it.
True.
Yeah.
Murder, oh, that's, okay. So, I'm not talking about the scary kind of Halloween. I'm talking about the fun kind. No, but I guess that's what I realized is, so Halloween is my favorite holiday. I love Halloween. Like, ever since I learned what it was, I was like, this is amazing. I mean, it is amazing. You get to be somebody else, and, like, it puts life on hold. Like, doesn't the whole world sort of put life on hold for Halloween?
Yeah, they all just agree to be weird for a little while.
Okay, everybody dress up however you want, and just get it out of your system, and eat a bunch of candy. It's amazing, and, like, I think, I don't know, it just, like, hit with me early that it was a fun day, and that mm-hmm. it was, like, something different, and, I always look forward to it, and I guess looking back on it now, like, being who I am now, I'm like, oh, okay, because, like, I like to perform, I like to make people laugh, and, like, I like to be, like, a stupid idiot, and, I always wanted to be something funny for Halloween, and it was usually, like, so, for example, when I was in first grade, so that's, like, 6 years old, I had this, like, vision of, and I thought it would be so funny if I was a plumber. So I had my mom, like, she made a really good plumber outfit for, like, a six-year-old girl. And she, like, embroidered Bob's Plumbing onto, like, a plain white hat and a shirt. And I drew on a mustache, and, like, I put a big pillow on my stomach. And I, like, had a wrench and a plunger, and, like, I walked into school, and, like, people loved it. Like, people laughed at me. I got so many, like, high fives, and the older kids got it. And even the girls were, like, into it and thought it was funny. And I trick-or-treated with a wrench in my pocket, and I had, like, a broken leg, basically. No, I had, like, a giant bruise.
You were probably with, like, a whole group of, like, cats and Minnie Mouse.
Exactly. No, I actually have a photo of me and, like, 4 Beanie Babies and, like, a princess, and then it's me, and I'm just making some, like, stupid face. And then that's the other thing, is I always used to, like, get in character. Like, I used to be, like, the annoying kid who, like, you have to call me Bob. Like, that's who I am today. But I think what I realized that sort of spoke to is also that, like, how much my parents just let my freak fly.
That's great. That's so awesome.
Yeah, like, I will say that my parents, even to this day, are, like, they just are shrugging. They're just like, oh, yeah, that's Jackie. She's a, she's a free spirit, or like she's unique. Like they never were worried about me embarrassing them. I realized I was like a man for Halloween every year, like of elementary school. Like I remember one year I was just an electric. Oh no, wait, no, that was between the plumber and the electrician. Another year I was just a. I was just like a businessman. Like, I wore my brother's like communion suit.
You were just like a guy who works in like mid-level management at some company.
And then this might okay. I'm realizing now this might sound like I like to dress like a man, but I think I just liked the idea of like doing something totally like off the wall, silly and different. And I've never really my parents never told me I didn't have to.
You do the same thing in improv scenes because we've done a bunch of those together. You end up playing like men most of the time, and like specifically like just tough, like rough around the edges men. Like,
yeah, I think you know it's, I do that. Like, and I even sometimes I tell myself like, all right, like this time, like play close to yourself. As I said, I was like, we're just like play yourself, but. I start that way, but then I end up gonna tag out as like somebody's grandfather. but you know, I always just liked the idea of I guess just pretending I could be somebody else, and like that's like such a big part of my life now, honestly.
Were your schools into Halloween like up until? Because our college, we went to college together. Mm-hmm. It definitely was. They loved Halloween.
Yeah, but in like the skanky way.
Well, it was the grossest place ever. Like, what did you expect?
Yeah, it was really gross.
Marist College has a lot of. It's gross. It's just what it is.
When I was at odds with myself and like and trying to fit in, and I made a dress out of duct tape.
Nice.
I was a mermaid.
It's a classic freshman move.
Oh, God.
Classic.
I know. And, like, what? And, like, I was ashamed.
You're just, like, caught a glimpse of yourself in a mirror at one point, like.
I was like, what? Not... Like, no, I think it was, like, when, like, my friend was, like, wrapping me in duct tape. Like, and you have to wrap your body in saran wrap.
Yeah, so you don't, like, rip the skin off.
Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't, like, comfortable, but we live in the patriarchy. So,
so you become just, a mermaid.
Yeah, so you have to be a mermaid to be sexy.
Yep. That's awesome. My high school was, like, notoriously into Halloween. Like, people went, like, Comic-Con level all out. Like, they were... Yeah, there was, like, contests. Like, people were... It was insanely elaborate. Like, it got to the point where, like, the whole town knew about it to come to the high school. People would freak out. Like, you would have liked it a lot.
Yeah, I would have loved that. My elementary school had a parade.
Yeah, we did that too, where all the parents could watch them, like, walk around the parking lot.
How awesome is that? Like, I really think that kind of, like, support at a young age is just, like, being like, yeah, like, you walk around in that Cat in the Hat.
It happens so much at, like, a young age now. Yeah. Like, it's just like, here's this. Walk them around in the circle. They'll all get clapped for. It is pretty good.
But it is cool because, like, you know, I spent a lot of other time in my life feeling like I was saying, like, trying to fit in or, like, trying to feel more normal or, like, more comfortable. So I think Halloween is sort of that, like, little, like, no-judgment escape day. And I love that holiday.
That's so... Are you a candy person?
Yeah, I am obsessed.
What's your favorite one?
Candy at all times. I would honestly not... Okay, surprisingly, Almond Joy.
Whoa.
I know.
That's an interesting pick.
It's great because other people will give you their Almond Joy.
Yeah, that's actually a great... I feel the same way about, like, lemon and lime-flavored candies, like green and yellow...
That was the worst.
Yeah, exactly. Green and yellow Skittles, hand them over. Or, like, wow. I can't... Yellow Starburst, yep. Yeah. All in.
Oh, yellow... Okay, yellow
Orange Starburst is the one you gotta give away.
Yeah, that one tastes like...
But. It's just too tart. You're just like walking around making eye at people. Just like.
I'm not into sour things, honestly.
Me either.
Like, not Sour Patch Kids. I'm a chocolate girl.
Mm-hmm.
I love coconut. and I love mixing nuts and chocolate. Who doesn't?
So there you go.
So no, but that candy's amazing.
It's perfectly designed for you then.
Yeah, and nobody else wants it. So
no, everybody. My mom has this huge aversion to coconut where she'll like make a scene if it even like touches her tongue. She's just like hates it so much. Yeah. So like, but my dad loves it. So sometimes there'll be coconut candies around.
Yeah.
And I've seen maybe 4 times in my life her get tricked into eating it, and it's fantastic. Yeah, not on purpose. Sometimes
what she hates about it.
Every single thing. It just sends her into a frenzy. She's just like scraping her tongue over the sink and stuff.
As a suppressed, like, Hawaiian memory.
Who knows? I don't know what that is all about.
I've always liked kind of old man candy, though. Like, I love Heath bars.
Yeah, those are good.
Oh, you like them?
Yeah. I spent a lot of time at Friendly's as a little kid, and they always had that as an ice cream mix option.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only place you see it is, like, as an ice cream topping.
It's pretty good.
Like, at Cold Stone.
Yeah. If you're gonna, like, go to a movie, like, what's the candy?
Oh, probably peanut M&Ms. It's a share. It's share-friendly.
You just get that rattling box every few seconds, just, like, pouring them out. There's no good... It's so funny how every snack that's become a movie snack is horrible for being quiet. It's popcorn, nachos, and just boxed candy. It's just like...
Yeah, no, not at all. It's the loudest food. The movies.
Allowed to just like watch this choppy
they
cut.
They really just eat like mashed potatoes.
Yeah, imagine they just had like a big vat of mashed potatoes. They have like ice cream.
The quietest food ever.
Ice cream isn't that loud. Unless you're like slurping at it, I guess.
Yeah. Quiet food. Just like a loaf of bread.
Yeah, just like a soft bread.
A pudding.
Just like a nice cheese sandwich.
Yeah. And you don't really eat those snacks any other place. It's like, just go eat the loudest snacks at the quietest place.
So you mentioned fun Halloween, not scary Halloween.
Yeah,
do you have, like, an aversion to scary Halloween? There's some crossover things, like pumpkins. It depends what direction you're going to take it.
Oh, pumpkins are great. And that's something else is, like, I relate Halloween to, like, my grandparents, actually. My grandmother loved October and loved Halloween and would always take us, like, pumpkin picking and, I think, like, when I think of her, like, I think of her in a pumpkin patch. she loved it, and, like, she really liked the fun of it, too, and, I don't know, I just, like, it makes me think of them.
Yeah, that's a nice memory.
Yeah.
You're just, like, thinking of your grandma, she's just, like, is a scarecrow.
Like, yeah, I erased the memory of my real grandma, and now I've just replaced her with a scarecrow.
Just once a year goes to her.
But she's a really good scarecrow.
That's awesome.
No, yeah, it's a great, and also, like, best weather month.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
So, like, that was what we, Halloween to me is scary movies. Like, that was always, like, I would always, like, at a young age, it was like, we're too cool for trick-or-treating. Let's stay in and watch Jason movies.
Yeah.
And then there's, like, a 2-year window where that's okay. And then it's like, no, let's try to steal beers. And I was still like, no, guys, there's 6 more Jason movies. We have to do this.
Yeah. I've seen all those, too, though. I have to, like, what about Evil Dead?
Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite.
There's the old ones or the new ones?
The old ones.
Yeah, the old ones are so weird. They're so funny.
Weird.
They're just... Evil Dead 2 is a straight-up comedy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, like, sort of... They leaned into that when they realized people think it's funny.
Well, they saw the first one, they must have been like, oh,
yeah,
damn it.
Hilarious.
Like, this is so not what we... And the new one is brutal. That new one's creepy.
Oh, my God, yeah. And then I watched that... I don't know. I forget. Who's in that again?
The girl from, she was on an ABC sitcom,
but in Evil Dead.
Suburbia or something like that.
Oh, and she was like a heroin addict in this?
No. She was a heroin addict in this. I forgot that was like a subplot. They were like at
and
the
they
cabin.
Throw your heroin in the woods. And then she did. And then like a tree raped her. Sorry.
Yeah, those things happened exactly in that order. She's like, whoosh, and then like a branch comes out of nowhere.
That's how it went down.
That movie's crazy. Yeah. I love a good horror movie. I don't like ghost movies, though. The problem,
like ghost.
Yeah, it's mostly the pottery that features in all of them that's just like, come on, yeah. Let it go. We get it. They like pots. No, but it's more like things like Paranormal Activity or like The Haunting or whatever, or like Annabelle.
Emily Rose.
Yeah, like, what are the rules of getting killed by a ghost? Do you become a ghost? Are you not wrapped up in ghost stuff forever? Or do you haunt the house too? Like, there's no, there's clear, like, vampires, they don't like garlic. They can't see the reflection. Stake through the heart. There's rules.
Yeah, there's
if they
rules.
Bite you, your zombies have rules. People have rules. There's no ghost rules. They're just winging it the whole time.
Right. Well, it's like subjective, or it's unique to that movie, and also that puts a lot of pressure when you think about it on the filmmaker or whatever to be like, all right, then we have like 10 plausibility issues to address in the. In the next couple lines.
The ghost movies were ruined forever for me when you realize that it's kind of like detective things. It's like the exorcism will only work if the director wants it to.
Right.
Like, it's worked in some movies. It doesn't work on other ghosts. Like, it's kind of just a crapshoot. Like, maybe that priest just isn't as good as another one.
But then you find out, like an hour in, it's like, but wait, there's that undeniable rule that we forgot to mention, that if she looks in a mirror, she turns into liquid or some shit. So, like, then it fixes everything.
In the new Blair Witch that they did, like, the remake, which they spend so much time being like, we got drones and cameras and all this shit, and then just the second they get in the woods, they're like, none of it works. It's like 21st century means nothing. It's just they have all this broken camera equipment.
Yeah.
And one of the rules is you can't look at the witch. That's how she gets you.
Yeah.
So if you're like in her house and you stand in the corner like at the end of the first one, you're good for a period of time.
Right.
And this girl successfully outwits her like 6 or 7 times using like a reflection thing, and then the end of the movie is just at one point she's like, oh, I'm just gonna check real quick.
Out. And she just blows it.
She just has like had all this like tense moments, and then the last thing is her just turning around real quick and then instantly just like done.
And you're like, well, what the, why did I just watch all this?
It was like you had
she was just gonna get got like everyone else.
You had the right idea. You knew. It's like, don't look at her. You had all the information.
Yeah.
And if she's not in front of you, there's a good chance she's back there.
And you know she's got nothing else to do but try to fucking kill you.
Yeah, it's like how many people go in our woods. It's a very clear thing. Don't go in the heart.
I do like horror movies a lot, actually.
Yeah, when they're good, they're good. And when they're bad, it's like, oh, what is happening?
Yeah. But you know what? It's funny, like, working in production and stuff, like, I mean, everyone would get scared by, like, something, like, jumping the fuck out of you really quick, but whenever I'm with somebody, and I really do think about this, who's, like, scared of a, like, scary movie, or, like, my roommate used to never let me watch movies I want to watch, because she was, like, would get anxiety from, like, the seriousness of them, or, like, the sadness, or the scariness, and I'm, like, zoom out to this fucking huge, like, room of, like, at least 100 people, like, half of them, like, have to shit really bad, but, like, can't, like, leave their post, and, like, they're sweaty and hungry, and, like, they're literally trying to be quiet while these, like, people pretend to scare you. So, like, it's just all so produced. It's, like, I just am at a detachment from that kind of a thing. Like, I couldn't possibly be actually scared.
Yeah.
I can be affected, but, like, I have the ability to be, like, this is
it is like a science where if you are like invested in something, then all of a sudden like like you're gonna jump, and that's fine.
Yeah,
it's fun.
Yeah, that is fun. It makes your heart race.
I like the. Have you ever seen somebody like as an adult be in a movie theater and then like a horror movie trailer comes on and they like cover their ears? I have lost respect for like a couple people where I'm like, you're the worst person.
Oh, I have seen that.
It's
people like to get attention.
Yeah, they definitely do. People love attention.
People love attention.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's like a good. You have final thoughts on Halloween?
Well, the only one, which is something I've been wondering and thinking about a little bit while we've been talking, is did you, where you grew up, we're both from New Jersey.
Yes.
The good parts.
Yeah, and the north part.
Yeah.
The freaking south parts.
smelling, give a bad name to all of us.
They do talk like, oh, I have to go home. Like, they have that, they draw their O's out or whatever you want to call it. Yeah, like, you know, oh, hoagies. Like, that's how they talk.
Hoagies. It's like, what? No, honestly, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised in the same state. Like, there are parts of New Jersey that look like the, like, deep south or something.
Yeah.
It's like farms. It's like, where the hell am I? It's like nothing like where I'm from.
Yeah, New Jersey's like, it's like all the areas pushed into one thing. Like, you have like weird, terrible city. Yeah. You have like beach. There's like farm. There's like suburb.
Yeah, what? It is, I think it is good that it's on the coast, but wait, really quick. New Jersey, creepy state.
Yeah.
The like weird New Jersey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And the Jersey Devil and just, like, various murdery stuff.
There's a lot of weird crap that went down in Jersey.
Yeah.
Every single golf course has dead mobsters under it.
Really?
A lot of them do. That's always been one of the local legends of my town, is that our golf course was, like, a mafia graveyard.
Really? Wait, this would actually be a good segue, because there, I worked at a restaurant growing up, and it's sort of known for this, like, I want to say it was, like, the early 80s or it was the 70s. This restaurant's been there for, like, 40 years now, and there was a mob hit in the parking lot.
Wow.
Yeah, and these two guys, got killed, in a car, like, popped from the back seat. Like,
they were like driving, yeah. And the guy was in the passenger.
No, like they were parked in the parking lot of this pub. It's an Irish pub in New Jersey, very safe part of New Jersey, by the way, but very Italian. I'm Italian too.
You know those shit. Italians are moving in everywhere.
No, but anyway, it's sort of like it's such a like a family restaurant now, but like no one can forget. Like, it's just been sort of like a always spoken about legend that these two mob guys got whacked in the parking lot back in the like 80s.
In like small towns, there are like every once in a while something like that'll happen where everybody's like, oh yeah, remember when that happened? Like, we've had like one murder in the 20 years that I like lived in my town, and everybody like knows exactly when it happened and why. Yeah. And like,
you're like, it's one murder.
And we have a SWAT team in my town. We've had one murder in 20 years. What do we have? It's like to break up parties, teenagers, they just roll in the SWAT team.
Seriously. Like,
so you mentioned you're gonna segue. Oh, yes. I think that means I know what your next pick is gonna be.
Oh, really? Should you guess?
No, you've tell the night all the nice people.
I was gonna say it was this, my second pick is working, growing up working at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. I have been to this restaurant one time. You were not there that day.
What? That's so weird.
But we...
Oh, yeah, because you worked in that town.
For a brief amount of time, yeah.
What'd you think? What'd you order?
I don't remember.
Did you order a Godfather? Connection. To the mob thing.
Do you think that was named that before or afterwards?
They called it, like, the parking lot murder.
They're like, this is on the nose. Like, maybe we...
No.
Or maybe it was something that they couldn't sell. They're like, how are we going to sell this friggin' sandwich? And they were like, everybody's always asking about that mob hit. Just
name it the Godfather. They'll think it's, like, inspired by.
It's just, like, eight kinds of cured meat. And then, like, a slab of mozzarella.
Dumb deal.
I love it.
No, but, yeah, so this, you've been there. Did you have a good experience?
I did. It was a nice little place.
Yeah.
You worked there for a long time, right?
Yeah, so that's sort of what makes it, I think, unique, is that I worked there for 10 years.
That's a long
and
time.
And I started when I was 13. So that was, like, pretty child labor-y.
Yeah, you're not a gigantic person. When you were 13,
yeah.
You probably looked exactly the same.
Yeah, I looked exactly
were people like
this.
Why? Who are you?
We're
like, where is this 13-year-old waitress's boobs? I need this. I hate this.
I don't understand how old this gnome is without the boobs.
Yeah, so that must be so weird having like a lunch and like people, like a kid walks up.
Yeah,
like,
no, weird. I mean, people definitely were like, how old are you? Like all the time. But the truth is that I like grew up going to this restaurant, and I'm, like, a weirdo, man. I, like, always wanted to work. Like, I would, like, pretend to have a, like, when I played pretend, it was, like, Jackie's office. Like, Jackie's restaurant, where I would, like, wait on my parents, and then, like, bring them their order. Like, I just, like, liked to pretend I was, like, had a job.
Or Plum.
So late. Or Plum. Exactly. So, I used to, like, pretend I worked at this restaurant, like, when I was a little kid, because my parents would take me there. Yeah, so stupid.
That's, like, the secret.
Yeah.
Like, you just willed it into existence.
I always wanted to work there. I was, like, and then when I was, I think I used to go there, and they always used to be, like, oh, like, when you're old enough, like, you can start, like, bussing tables. And then I was, like, 12, and I was, and one time we were there, and they were, like, oh, like, when you're old enough, you can start bussing tables. And I was like, when am I old enough? And they were like, how old are you now? And I said, I was 12. And they said, come back in a year. And then when I turned 13, I was like, can I work here? And they were kind of like, all right, like, we really want you.
Yeah, they're like, you're probably going to be better than whatever guy we hire off the street.
Right. Like, I like to hustle. I have a lot of, I'm a very, like, energetic person.
Yeah. When we used to make the videos, a lot of them, you got us focused a lot of the time.
Yeah, I'm not saying that I'm always, like, work is fun, but, like, when I do have a focus or, like, a task at hand, like, I do like to do it and do it hard. Like, what does that say? Anything that's worth doing is worth overdoing.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a good, like, way to go about life, for
sure. If you're
going to
do something, you might as well fucking do it.
Yeah.
You know? I think you do that.
Not in a lot of regards, but in some.
Well, I guess that brings me back to being amazing at bussing tables. No,
yeah.
I liked it. Like, it was fun. I got to meet strangers all the time. I liked knowing that, like, somebody was gonna meet me. Like, it was, and this more so got to when I was, like, waitressing, which I thought was, like, a great time.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, oh, like, these people get to, like, meet me, and I get to, like, try to, like, make them like me while I give them food, which they want. And then they leave, like, at a high with me, and then I get to move on to, like, the next person. And, like, I just, like, liked it.
You have the best customer service attitude of anybody I've ever heard. There's so many more people that are just like, fuck all these customers. Like,
I had my days where I was, like, stressed, but, like, I really don't think I would take it out on the customers. Like, I think somebody, like, my boss told me, like, we like to keep the seats comfortable, the air comfortable, the lights dim. Like, we want people to be comfortable here. We want them to be happy. Like, they're only here to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
So, like, you should not be making their life any harder.
For sure.
And that's not even the same thing as saying, like, the customer's always right. It's more so just being, like, you're just here to, like, serve. You're getting paid to do that. So, like, I guess I just was like, yeah, I'm just going to, like, make this nice for you. I'll always try to do that. Like, and I'm not annoying either. I get annoyed by waiters all the time where I'm like, would you fucking go somewhere else?
You know what's funny is how many people, like, saying you're not annoying is the best way to prove to people
that you're
not annoying.
Yeah, true.
No, you're not annoying.
Well, but yeah, I, like, went through puberty working at this restaurant.
Just.
But, like, you know what I mean? Like, all my most formative years, I spent, like, Saturday nights, like, 1 a.m., like, squeezing ketchup into, like, a million bottles and, like hustling my way through a crowded bar, like, serving, like, fries and shit. And, like, my second year there, so I was 14, and I worked on Halloween, fell on a Saturday. Saturday was my shift, and they let us dress up, and I dressed up as, like, Minnie Mouse or something. I think I just wore, like, black shirt, black pants, and, like, ears just to, like, stay a little, you know, work professional or whatever.
Yeah.
And a drunk, like, Fred Flintstone, like, slapped my ass while I was, like, walking in the bar. And I was, like, I think that was, like, the first night where I was, like, whoa, like, I'm, like, only 14. And, like, why am I even in this bar right now? It's, like, 12:30 a.m. Like, all my friends are, like, have a curfew. And I'm just, like, still at work right now. And it's not even legal. Like, I think that was the one night where I was just, like, Maybe this is kind of not for me.
How'd you even get there? Could you walk?
I would, like, get dropped off by my parents, and then, like, one of the waiters would drive me home at the end of the shift.
Cool.
Yeah. And that was the other thing, is I made friends with a lot of, like, much, much older friends. Like, and I guess when you met older, it's like, when I was 13, like, my best friend at work was, like, 19. Like, normal restaurant age.
Yeah.
And she's still my friend.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And all my friends in my life actually are from that restaurant. Like, looking back, like, I really don't have a lot of friends from high school. Do you, like, or do you keep in touch with
them? Not with a lot. Maybe three or four. Four, no, more than that. Maybe six. I don't know. Some people. Not a lot.
Well, I feel like me, maybe one. Like, honestly, I really, and I didn't leave on bad terms with anybody. I just sort of, like, moved on. And when I think about home and I think about my friends, I think about the pub, like, that I worked at. I think about my friend, like, you even know some of my best friends. And
yeah.
They're all from the restaurant.
Yeah, they are.
It's just an interesting way to bring people together. Like, I don't know any other way I could have known those people.
Mm-hmm. You've probably seen a ton of people come and go from that place. Like,
oh, yeah. No, well, actually, this restaurant, like, a lot of... So I was there for 10 years. Like, so was everybody else. Like, everybody kind of stays there for a long time. Especially, like, young, like... Like, they're my best friend still works there. Like, she started when she was, like, 16.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, like, it just sort of is a... They do, like, you do stick around there. It is sort of, like, it's sort of like a family. It's nice.
That's nice. It must be fun to work there, then.
It's
like,
so fun.
If people don't
mind. Shenanigans. Like, you know what, you know, we would, like, play pranks on each other. Like, when we would eat at the end of the shift, like, do you know what au jus sauce is?
No.
It comes with a French dip, classically. It's like a really thin, like, watery type of, like, steak sauce.
Yeah. I know what that is. I didn't know what
right.
It was called.
Oh,
yeah.
Au jus sauce. Anyway, it looked exactly like coffee. So, we would just, like, classically, every time someone would get a French dip, like, most likely your au jus sauce is going to be coffee. And it's just, like, so stupid, like, fall for it every time type of thing. And we had, like, a reoccurring one where we would try to sneak, like, a single kidney bean into your meal, like, without you knowing it. And then if, like, you ate it, at the end of the meal, we'd be like, you ate the bean!
I love it. That's awesome.
The bean, and then if you found it, like, you flip out. And, like,
oh, you'd be, like, freaking out about the bean.
Like, you ate the bean? And I remember one time I was like, oh, to this, like, girl who was kind of new, I was like, put this bean on the bottom of her, like, salad. Like, just do this. And then my friend went to go eat her salad, and it was in, like, a plastic, like, souffle cup for, like, salad dressing was the bean. Like, she, like, wrapped the bean and, like, put lettuce on top of it. So it was, like, she put a plastic cup under the salad. I'm like, so not sly. Ridiculous.
That's great.
Yeah. But I do feel like I, like, when I think about, I don't know, I mean, I feel like it must have taught me, like, I don't know, how to hustle, how to, like, I'm not, like, a, I don't know, I think it made my skin a little thicker. Like, people are not very nice to you all the time, and you need to learn that, like, they have a personal problem.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, like, I think, like, you can't, like, I think that, I really do think it helped me, not take things personally all the time, and sort of, like, chalk things up to the people are in a bad mood and it's not your fault. And
people are really, really rude sometimes.
Especially in New York on the subway. Like, I know, lady, you're not mad at me, honestly, for, like, standing in your way slightly. Like, you're like, oh, like, I got almost decked in the teeth recently.
Jesus.
By some, like, really scary lady on the subway. I was, like, we were waiting on either side of the doors. People were filing out. We were about to go in. And, like, I was by myself. And she had, like, a stroller and, like, her husband and, like, another kid. And in my mind, I was, like, in the commute. I thought that it was better for me to, like, slip in real quick before their whole, like, fiasco of, like, getting on. And I guess she thought the same thing about her, so we sort of, like, both went at the same time, and I ended up, like, knocking into her kid a little bit, and she was like, are you crazy? You're trying to knock my daughter onto the tracks? Like, you're a piece of shit. She's, like, screaming at me, saying that, like, I'm a selfish piece of shit who, like, is trying to kill her child, and I have, like, no consideration for children, and, like, just even when we got on the subway, just like saying, she was like, she said I should punch you in the face. Yeah, she said, I should punch you in the face. I was like, no, I just was like, I'm sorry, I didn't see him or her, I didn't see her. And she was like, oh, what, are you blind? You don't see a little kid? Like, was like, would not, like, relentlessly screaming at me. And I went to go get off this train, like, to change cars. And as I was passing her, I really thought she was going to, like, grab my ponytail. Jeez. And be like, nope. Like, I really felt that coming. I was like, oh, I'm just getting my ponytail pulled.
That's insane. That's weirdly happens too much.
Right, here. And I was like, okay, like, I understand a little bit what you're saying. Like, maybe I should have been a little more mindful of the fact that, like, you have kids and I could just, like, let you go, but, like, you screaming at me for this entire time is a personal problem.
Yeah, there's no, like, let it go at a certain point. Hey, yeah. Even, like, a hey, watch it is overdoing it, but at least that's an understandable overreaction.
Yeah.
You get one.
Yeah.
And then you're not insane. You're just having a bad day. Right. More than that, now you are looking for a fight.
Yeah, but this must be, like, one of the only cities you see that in.
The fact that she would... It sucks that she does that in front of her kid.
I know.
You know that's gonna fuck them up forever.
Definitely. Okay, everything that's wrong with you is totally because of your parents. So, yeah,
every therapist ever will tell you that.
Yeah, that's just obvious. It's just like... Yeah, really, they really have a huge impact.
Yeah, it's, and, like, you can trace so much stuff back to, like, key moments where you're like, yeah. Oh, this is, that's why this is like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But, about manners, yeah.
Yeah, so know. That's, like, a big thing you, like, learned from.
Yeah, manners, and so much, like, it's priceless, really, like. I think, you know, it's funny, like, you learn from, like, bad experiences more. Like, I remember one time I was, like, waiting on a table of, like, older, like, maybe, like, men in their 50s who had just gotten back from golfing. And, there are just some men who are just, like, gonna be, like, like, they need to, like, flex their ego in front of you, and, like, they need to, like, bring you down. Like, they're just, that's them, and that's, especially, like, honestly, being, like, a young woman, like, I think I was, like, a good target to be, like, I'm gonna make this girl, like, feel stupid. Like, people just try to, like, make you feel stupid, and this particular guy, they gave me, like, so many orders at once. There was, like, 6 or 7 of them, and they gave me their appetizers and their dinner at the same time, so I tried to clarify, like, so you want this coming out first or this coming out first or something, and this one guy goes, like, this is maybe, like, the second or third time where, like, I had to, like, clarify something, and he was like, Jesus Christ, can you send us someone who's not a fucking idiot? He, like, said that to his friend in front of me, and I was just like, okay, well, I'm 15, so...
Yeah, it's like, you can't do anything. It sucks. You're just, like, it's such a weird shot to take. It's like, that person can't... They're gonna lose their job if they even are, like...
Yeah.
Roll their eyes or something. Right.
And I think that made me cry, honestly. I was, like, young. And I was, like, young, and I was, like, I didn't like being called a fucking idiot by this guy. But then, you know, I think, like, in hindsight... You know, I can see that what his problem is, really.
Yeah, he's just, yeah, his life was unfulfilling, and now he's taking it out on you.
Yeah, like, your problem's not with me, sir.
Yeah, he's got some wife that, like, won't let him get any ever, and he's just, like...
That's the basis of all men's problems. Their wife won't
doesn't help.
Definitely not. What? Like sex lives of adults, of, like, real adults, is such a mystery to me.
I guess you just, like, gotta find out, right?
Really,
I think it varies. I think some people lose interest entirely, and some people get more. And then it's just like, it's like a crapshoot. Like, that's probably why so many people get divorced. At a certain point, the drive's just going, and then you're like...
Isn't that strange? Because, like, evolution-wise, you would think that you would just, like, during your really fertile years, you'd just be, like, raring and ready to go, and then after that, you just, like, put it to bed.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying
some people totally do that.
It's a mystery. Like, what about grandparents?
But you,
sorry, I'm
so many this. Senior citizen homes have that problem of, like, STDs. So, like, they... Maybe it's a product of boredom. I'm sure it's just, like, dorms again. It's just, like, equally as gross. Like, everybody's in the same, like...
You're right. They do have an STD problem. Weird.
They're just old and gross. I'm sure that's, like... It's just... You imagine it, and it's all just so slow. And slow is weird.
Yeah, like, how is it even possible?
Right? Like, it has to be so specific and, like, maybe old people are just faking it and they have so much more energy than we think they got, and you just gotta,
they're
like...
They're like, we don't want any more responsibilities. We have to act like we're broken.
And just buy closed doors and just fuck all day.
They just fuck all day and doing high kicks.
The poor nursing home people are, like, running around trying to... Yeah.
So
that's working on our wrist. Just old people fucking everywhere.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah, so anything else you want to toss in there about that?
Not really. I thought maybe, but I don't think so.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Recruiting the restaurant's cool. Try it sometime.
Yeah,
so what's the next thing we're talking about?
I was going to talk about astrology.
Okay.
How do you feel about astrology?
It's one of those things where it's like, I don't believe in it because I don't believe in anything.
Right.
But other people are so strongly like, this is important. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to, like, take that away from anybody. I just don't think that, like, I'm not going to read my horoscope to find out what my life is going to be
right.
like.
There's such a negative connotation to it, you know? And also, like, I think because it seems so subjective, but I think that's just because most people are very poorly informed. Like someone who's really into astrology wouldn't, like, really read into a horoscope necessarily. It's interesting. I've been, like... I'm obviously into astrology.
Yeah, it's a thing.
Yeah, and I've gotten a lot of ridicule for it, honestly. Especially from people who, like, I care that they think I'm not an idiot, and then they, like, express that they think anyone who believes in that is an idiot. And I'm like, well, okay, well, I have it tattoo on my body of my sign. So, no, but I'll tell you, like, where it sort of came from, though, if you care to hear.
Sure. That's the whole point.
Yeah. So basically, it came out of my interest in outer space in general. I really love outer space. I just always did. E.T. is one of my favorite movies ever. and I just always was so fascinated with, like, I think, like, the more I learned about, like, it, like, at a young age about, like, the solar system, I was like, wait a second, what? Are you kidding me? Like, it just blew my mind and excited me so much to learn about... It seems like magic. I mean, you, like, to think about, to, like... And I think I saw this video as a child. Like, maybe you saw it too, because I think they played it in, like, school, a lot of school. But it starts out on, like, a droplet of water on this guy's hand. And then it, like, it's, like, animated, and it, like, slowly starts to zoom out, and you see, like, the guy's hand, and then you see the guy, and then you see the town, and then you see the state, and then you see the country, and then you zoom out, and you're going further and further into outer space, and you're like, oh, cool, like, everything's so tiny, and then you're like, oh, fuck, we're still going, like, and they zoom out till as far out as we know,
mm-hmm.
as far out as we can, like, research, I guess, and then... to find out that after that, it's just infinity, by the way.
Yeah, it just keeps going.
Forever. And I think that, like, in that moment, I just, like, felt this really weird feeling in my stomach of, like, relief. And, like, oh, my God, thank God. I was like, thank God. Like, I thought so. Like, I thought I didn't have anything to worry about. Now yeah. I know I don't.
That's great.
Like, I just, like, was like, oh, and I honestly, like, I didn't, it wasn't conscious to me until I was older that I used to use, like, my interest in space to, like, make me feel less anxious about things.
That's so funny, because I feel like most people, even just now, when you were talking about that, like, if you were to think about the scale and scope of, like, where the Earth is even amongst... Yeah. There's no direction in any... It's so hard to grasp that it's, like, it breaks your head almost, like...
I know. Well, I think about, so, like, the Milky Way is our home in the galaxy, obviously. It's like, our hood.
Yeah.
And in the Milky Way alone, there are billions of stars to the point where there are 200 stars for every one person on Earth. So, like, when I think about my, like... I know it sounds so stupid, but I really do, like, when I'm, like, stressed, so stressed about the most, like, stupid, like, specific thing to my life that doesn't affect anyone else even in this room, and then I, like, think of the fact that there are, in, like, light years away, there are 200 stars for me in the galaxy, and I just, like, when I think of the scale of that, and then I think of my stupid problem, I just feel so much better.
Yeah.
Like, I really do, like, that perspective is really important, and like the more I learned about or thought about that and realized, I was like, oh, this is really interesting. It makes me feel better. I started reading a lot about astrology and sort of like what the celestial body's effect is on the Earth, and from what I understand and believe, it's a lot. And I just feel like, when it comes to, like, being, like, spiritual, it's, like, what more tangible thing could you possibly have to worship? Like,
it definitely is there.
Right? Like, it's, like, oh, all I know, I don't know if there's a God, I don't know if there's a heaven or a hell or whatever, I don't believe in any of that, but I'm just saying, like, I can say I don't know about this, I don't know about that, but I know that that... like, floating rock in the sky and that gigantic ball of fire are the reason that I'm standing here right here today and I'm alive and so are you. And, like, what more obvious thing could you have to be like, hey, maybe that has something to do with why I'm here. Maybe that I should pay a little thought to.
It is funny. Like, the first people had it so much closer to correct than now. We've really gotten it twisted in a big way.
It's because they knew, so, like, the ancient Babylonians knew, I mean, like, you have no choice but to ask a million questions, and you're like, okay, let's deduce a little info here, guys. We got the fireball over here, like, feeding our agriculture and making everything amazing. We have the rock that seems to change shape and affect the ocean, and I mean, everything. I mean, think of, like, the word lunatic. Comes from lunar, the moon. It's that, like, the moon affects people. It affects people. So they're like, oh, it's a full moon.
Yeah, like werewolves.
Right. I mean, like, that really gave that person the idea to, like, come up with werewolves because, you know, it's fictional.
Yeah, full moon. Oh, right. No, you're going to break the news live here that, like, werewolves aren't.
Werewolves are fictional.
Oh, no.
No, but I just feel like, I'm not saying you should put all of, like, your faith into the moon and the sun. I was just using those as an example, but I just mean, like, and when you think about what the sort of, like, celestial circumstances are that we're even here and alive, I just think that, like, if you owe gratitude anywhere, it's just so perfect that it seems like, it's like there are answers there. Like, I don't have to wonder.
Yeah.
Like, I can learn about it, and I can find out about it. And the more I learned about astrology, the more the pieces fit together. I didn't have to stretch them to be like, well, I'm kind of like that, or I'm kind of like this. Like, it makes so much sense, and this is, like, a science. People don't really think of it like that.
So it's broken up into 12 signs.
Yes. So, like, the zodiac is broken up into 12 signs, and, like, the reason that that happened is because there are sort of like 12 constellations that the ancient Babylonians, like, they noticed that they had each 12 different constellations had a sort of like progression that went with a season. So that's sort of how they came up with it. So they were like, okay, so this constellation happens during the watery season, like when we get, like when we find like there's a lot of rainfall or like the river's flowing. So like that'll be the water-bearing zodiac sign and that'll be Aquarius. And then they also, like, we can draw some other conclusions about this time mm-hmm. of the year, which is that it seems like this time of year people are like this and are like that. And they spent like millions of years studying these patterns and studying the stars and their relation on Earth, and like, you know, I think, how could they not have a relation to Earth?
Yeah, just because they've been here first, and everything's made of the same stuff. It's all carbon and right. stuff like that.
And it's just like I found a lot of comfort in learning about my sign, and like, not like, oh, that's me, or like, what I've found to, like, realize about astrology also is that it's like each sign has positives and negatives, and all people do. Like, all people have good things and bad things, and, like, astrologers believe, like, I think most astrologers believe that, like, the places in which your sign lacks are for someone else to teach you about. So all the challenges we face are just about, like, learning and, like, trying to be better people. So my flaws are your strengths, and you teach me and I teach you, and everybody sort of completes each other, and mm-hmm. that's sort of, like, the whole point. It's not like, oh, you're bad at this, you're bad at that. It's like, it kind of relates to just being able to be, like, a little reflective and being like, hey, like, I'm not that great at, like, I'm selfish. I find myself to be selfish. Like, if you can, like, look at yourself and say, like, I'm kind of a selfish person. Like, got me into trouble in the past. I want to change that about myself. Like, being mindful of that, of a flaw, is, like, the whole point of your sign. It's supposed to be. It's supposed to be like, let me learn a little bit about myself and, like, figure out where I need to improve, and, like, maybe your sign can help you see that all the more clearly, because for millions of years people have done the work for you, if you can believe it.
Yeah.
And I can.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are, like, yours, for example? Like, what are your pro-con?
Okay, so I'm an Aquarius. I'm extremely independent. I think that relates to, like, the fact that I've always wanted to have a job. Mm-hmm. Like, I love to work. I'm a hard worker. And I like to, like, blaze my own trail. And I like to be, like, a leader. But there's sort of, like, the flip side to that is, like, when you're independent, like, I've had problems in, like, relationships with, like, I never really liked the idea of being, like, in a unit. And, like, I sort of, like, was a little, like, shameful about my relationships, like, with, like, romance. Like, I would be like, oh, like, I don't want anyone to know I have a boyfriend or whatever, because, like, I have, like, a problem with my individuality. Like, I think that my individuality is always being threatened.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's sort of, like, I like, maybe I overcompensate that sometimes, and I'm like, oh, like, I have to be an individual, like, I have to be independent, like, I have to, like, I can be exclusive, like, I can exclude people from my life, and shut people out when they're trying to get in, because I feel my independence is being taken for granted, or whatever, or no, it's just being, like, jeopardized, but it's really not, you know, it's, like, my own issue.
Yeah.
So you can, like, look at your positives as negatives, or negatives as positives, I'm sure, in a lot of different ways, but, also, my creativity. I'm a creative person. That Aquariuses are creative. I'm just, like, sucking my own dick right now. No. I just have a really good sign.
Well, that's funny because every time I ask about mine, which is Taurus, the first thing that comes to mind is, yeah, exactly, everybody goes stubborn. And then if you're like, what's the good thing? They're like, well, the few people that like you really do. Like, that's mostly...
So, it's funny. I have my best friend, Gabby, who's mm-hmm. a Taurus. But doesn't that sort of make sense when I tell you that?
Yeah, it does kind of, just in the sense that, like, I think we share similar sensibilities about some stuff.
Yeah, well, I think you guys are both really stubborn. But, like, I think that the positive of being stubborn is being sure of yourself. Like, and trusting your gut and your why, like, you're wise and you know it, and so you, like... I know, Anthony, like, I know you like to tell people about things, like, you like to teach people things, like, did you know about this, or did you hear about this, like, you like to, and, like, when you know something, you won't keep it a secret, but if somebody were to tell you that, like, something you know to be true isn't true, I'm sure you would never let them.
It's the worst. I've a whole series of grudges about stupid stuff like that.
Grudges, right, but think about somebody who, like, can't trust themselves to even, like, have any confidence in, like, what they feel or say.
Yeah, no, this makes sense. Like, my favorite thing in the world is going to the movies by myself and no one else can be around. That's, like, the best thing ever.
Yeah.
And people who are totally unsure. Which one is that? People who can't make decisions.
Like, indecisiveness? Sure, that's not like ringing a bell.
Because that's what I should be looking for, right?
Right, to complete you. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Sometimes you
just
get a lot
boss
of
someone around forever.
Just like, yes, whatever you say.
Just fine. Which is the sign that's totally submissive to everything I want to do all the time?
Well, think about it. Like, this is sort of an interesting way to think about it. So the further down the line of the zodiacs you get, you're sort of considered to be like learning to become complete or to be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Not perfect, but it's like there are sort of like naive signs and more like what's a better word for it? Like, they have good intuition and, like, good, they know things for certain. Like, they're wise. They're people that you just naturally go towards for advice. Like, people who are good listeners, like, are sort of towards the end of the zodiac. I'm the second to last sign in the zodiac, and I find that people, like, I find myself to be very sure of myself. And I find myself to be, able to know when I'm wrong and admit when I'm wrong and I think when you have an honest view of yourself, I would be curious to think if you thought of someone like that, you know what I mean, where they would fall in the zodiac. So, like, my mother is the last sign in the zodiac, and she could not be more of, like, a wise, like, advice giver. These tend to be, like, people that you feel like are old souls or something like that, whereas mm-hmm. the sort of naive signs, no offense, but, like, tend to be really stubborn and tend to almost act like, not children, but, like, tend to, like, be really stuck in their ways and tend to, like, can't get out of their own way, like, can't seem to, you know, like, understand, like, maybe they have a lot of stress in their life, a lot of anxiety in their life, whereas, like, further down you get, the more, like, whole you feel.
Mm-hmm.
So, Taurus is one of the first signs.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
And it just speaks to the challenges you have to face, I think. You know what I mean? Like, and it doesn't mean that you can't be, like, more sure of yourself or whatever. It just means you might have to work twice as hard, but that's you're supposed to. It's all part of something bigger. I know I sound like a quack. But I don't care. It's special to me.
Yeah, no, that's your thing. That's like a third... That's like actually like a great closer point on that. Unless you want to add anything else?
Not yet. Really. The only thing... no, I was going to say something about... nah, we'll skip it. I sound crazy.
Just for the sake of... Okay, cool. Then, we could just, like, move on then.
Okay,
what's
cool.
This number...
So, number four?
Two? Four, whatever it is.
So, yeah, this would be number four. Okay. Oh, I'll go with being a tiny woman.
Okay. Your height?
Yeah.
Height being and short, stature?
Being really short. And I think that, like, and being a lady.
Okay.
Being a short lady.
Cool.
Yeah.
Being a short lady.
Yeah.
What's it like? I've not experienced it ever.
And many haven't. Yeah. It's honestly, I bet you that is one, I mean, that is, our height differences make us live very different lives.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Like, for example, like, so I'm the youngest of very many cousins. My dad is one of eight siblings, and there's lots of cousins, second cousins, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I was always the smallest, and I always had a lot of, like, older boys, like, messing with me. Like, my cousins, like, when we would play hide and seek, they would make me hide in the dryer. Because I would fit in the dryer, and I was like, I don't even want to play. Like, I would always get, like, put in, like, the trunk of something, or this, or, like, people always trying to, like, fit me places when I was little, like, against my will. They're like, oh, Jackie will fit in the middle of the tire. I'm like, wait, I don't want to. So I think, like, being tiny, like, I always was sort of, like, messed with, like, I wouldn't call it bullying. I guess I would, but not, like, I'm really harmed, but, people always sort of, like, I think, like, Amy Poehler has a chapter in her book, I think it is a chapter, called, Short People Do Not Like to Be Picked Up. And, like, I think that I was like, yeah, seriously, I mean, what, just because I'm tiny I look like you, I'm just like yours to do what you will with, because, like, you can physically move me, like, and I guess what I realized is, like, and it annoys me a lot, especially in college, and then, like, and even now, like, in a crowded bar, like, I recently went to Gumball, and I was at a couple of really, really crowded places, and I think that, like, there's a certain capacity level in, like, a building where someone's like, all right, I'm gonna start ignoring all the short people, especially girls. Like, anyone who I can easily push aside is getting pushed aside. So, like, people try to walk, like, through me, like, at Gumball. People were just, I was, like, getting stampeded over, and I have to really, really stand my ground, like, and it's like, I am a person who deserves to be standing here. People just, like, knock me right the F over, and it's annoying, and, like, I complain, like, I'll go to a bar where, like, I'm so short that, like, I can't even hear what people are saying at all, and I'm like, do you find that fun?
No, I hate it. I also have a hard time hearing there, probably just because of damaged, yeah. I wear headphones too much, probably, yeah. But, like, most of the time I'm badly reading lips, or I do a lot of, yeah. Sure. Yeah, yeah, just nodding. I don't know what you said. Right. I probably agreed to some fucked up stuff.
They're like, so you will help me, Barrier?
Yeah, I'm just like, yeah, man, totally. I'm just, like, hoping they walk away.
Like, oh, thank God, you're my savior. No, honestly, I don't get really the fun of, like, let's go out together and not speak the whole time.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of bar games. If there's, like, a pool table,
oh, yeah.
Or, like, foosball,
you
or,
know,
like,
I love games.
Games are the best, because it brings a point to it, because after the first drink at those places, it's like, well, I don't want to dance, I don't do that, and then...
Yeah, this isn't a wedding.
Yeah.
Like, why are we dancing?
It is true. Weddings are the one place where if, like, I'm drunk enough, I will do it just a little bit. But, like,
I'm glad to hear that.
I would never go to a dance club just, like, let's rave or whatever.
It's just like, I just need to dance tonight.
I just need to dance out some anger.
Honestly, not a bad idea.
Just, I feel like that wedding might not be the place. It's just one guy takes over the floor, just like, just punch dancing, just all over. Oh my God.
It's like, Karen's niece just punched me in the throat on the dance floor.
It's like, yeah, well, high school's
hard. I mean,
nephew,
sorry. so
it definitely makes, you've probably been in a lot of crowds where you just heard what's happening.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm saying, like, I'm lower to the ground.
Well, yeah, I just mean, like, at events, it must be, like, hard to see stuff.
Oh, yeah, I can't see shit, ever. And honestly, I don't want you to, like, do you want me to put you on my shoulders? Not really. I'm just a regular person, not trying to sit on people's shoulders.
Yeah, now you're above everybody, and yeah. Now you're, like, a... That's,
now you're respectable.
Yeah, that's a totally different problem. Yeah. It's like, now someone's gonna, like, throw a water bottle at you for fun or something, like...
Yeah, they're like, yeah, no, like, it's tough, like, it's stupid to complain about something like that you can't change. But I do find myself at bars, like... And in my head, I'm like, I'm really not having fun, and it's really because I'm short.
You think if you were taller, you'd be, like, a social butterfly, like...
If I was taller, I'd have so many friends. No.
Just out every night, just like, I can hear everybody.
I can hear and see everything. No, like, I remember one time in college, I was at a... I'm not lying. It was Halloween again. All my memories are on Halloween.
Okay.
It was Halloween, and I was, like... standing at a bar, Mahoney's, and this, like, drunk, like, penguin dude just, like, tried to, like, pummel me over, like, walk through me, and, like, I saw him coming, so I did what I always do, which I have to learn to do, where I'm, like, I, like, stood there like a rock, like, I, like, tighten my body, I'm, like, I know this guy's, I'm gonna, like, let him know that he can't, like, push me by, like, push me so I'll, like, collapse over, like, and he'll walk by. Mm-hmm. So he, like, hit me, and he, like, couldn't. He was like, oh, what? Like, he didn't even look down. He was like, why can't I get through? Then he, like, tried again. He was like, like, pushed into me again, tried to walk into me again. And then, like, the third time he tried, and I was, like, getting, like, making my body, like, tighter and tighter. I'm like, you're not gonna, like, push me over right now. Like, this is it. I think I, like, had the last straw that night. And he got so mad that he shoved me by the shoulders, like, and then he, like, realized what he did and was kind of like, what the fuck am I doing? Kind of, like,
Jesus.
And I was like, you just got mad because you wanted me to just, like, move over for you and, like, push right by when, like, you could have just said, please, excuse me.
Damn.
But, like, that night, I was like, I'm not gonna let this guy through. And, like, it, like, made some, like, primal, I think, like, primal thing in him. Be like, I want through. Like, push. And then he, like, had to come to terms with what he did. And I was like, it's cool, but, like, dude, like...
Yeah.
Jesus, I'm so sick of being pushed around. Like, and I think it's, like, kind of speaks to, like, being... Like, even now, like, people just sort of... Not to be like this, but, like... I think that people have a harder time, like taking me seriously or, like, really, like, listening to me or, like, I think it affects people subconsciously. Like, they view me as, like, weak or they view me as, like, oh, it's just, like, little Jackie. You don't have to worry about her. Right? You don't have to listen to her. You don't have to... You could just walk through her type of thing. And, or at least, I don't know, maybe that's just sort of, like, a fear I've had. So I've always tried to maybe, like, overcompensate for that by being, like, really expressive.
Yeah, it's like when the small dog is, like, barking like crazy at the big one.
Right, because you have to.
Yeah, and the big one's like, fuck this. Right. I'm just out of here.
Right. But I think I managed to do it by not being, like, mean or being, like, hey, I'm here. But, like, I just, like, try to make myself known. And I try to, like, not let people mess with me. Like, I remember my mom always tells this story. Like, I was at, like, a family party, and there was, like, the drink cart, and I wanted, like, red soda. Which, by the way, have you ever seen red soda again?
Like the red Fanta? Like,
I don't even know what it is, but, like, it was, like, a RC, just, like, red. It was, like, a cherry, just, like,
red on the bottle.
Cherry soda drink. Like, it was, like, I wanted the red one, and my mom would never buy that in a million years, so I could only get it if I was at, like, someone else's shitty, like, party, family party or something. So, like, I went, and, like, this, like, guy was making a drink, and he was like, oh, like, hey, sweetheart, like, you wanted me to make you a drink, and I was like, yeah, like, I want a red soda, and, like, I saw him just pick up whatever soda, he's probably, looking back, he's probably just wasted. But he, like, picked up...
They're like, Coke cans are red, and he's like, okay.
He, like, picked up whatever soda bottle that was, yeah, and, like, poured me a drink, and, like, he was like, there you go, and I was like, fuck this, like... What? Like, you can't even listen to what I said.
You're like, hey, no, funny.
So I did. So I, like, looked at him. I was like, hey, like, I wanted the red soda. Like, can you please get me the one I asked for? And then he was like, okay. And then he went to my uncle, who I guess he was just, like, my uncle's friend, and was like, oh, that, like, little kid, like, gave me such a hard time. And my uncle was like, oh, you tried to get one over on Jackie? Like, no, she's not going to let that happen. He knew. She's four.
He's like, yeah, 4 years, we know now.
Right. And I wasn't like a bitch. I was just like, look, like, I want to be taken seriously right now. I don't know. And I still feel like that's something that I've had to, like, I don't know. Yeah, I've been twice as stern, twice as sure of myself, twice as,
mm-hmm.
you know, yeah. stand, twice as sturdy in a bar.
Totally.
Yeah.
Airplanes must be sweet, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's perks.
Yeah, there is perks. There is perks. Like, I do squeeze into places. I'm also very easygoing when it comes to, like, comfort and stuff. Like, I could sleep anywhere.
That's like, a good skill.
Yeah, I accidentally fall asleep on my little tiny love seat couch every night. And I wake up at, like, 5 a.m. and I'm like, shit, I can't sleep in my bed again. And I don't even want to do that. I want to sleep in my bed, but if I fall asleep, I'm just, like, easily comforted, so I'm just down for the night.
Nice.
So, like, on an airplane, I'll be, like, yeah, like, I'm comfortable. I've got enough leg room. Like, I'm just, like, I'm cool.
There's a comic that I know named Daniel Parafan, who books his show exclusively comics that are under 5'7".
Really?
Yeah, he's a short guy, and he's, like, tired of the world crapping on short people, so you have to be under 5'7" to get on his show. It's really funny. Like, if you start doing comedy, there you go, you got an in.
Yeah.
Or you do improv comedy.
Yeah,
we haven't talked. Yeah, you haven't talked.
I've thought about it.
Yeah, you should try it sometime. It's a lot of fun. I took the switch and never went back.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is I feel like with stand-up is you really have to own your personality. And I don't know if mine is really, like, one that works like that.
Yeah, I guess kind of back to what you were saying before is, like, I am pretty sure of that. Yeah.
Right, like you have interesting observations that you are stubborn about, maybe.
Yeah, the second part for sure.
Yeah.
I'm definitely stubborn about observations. But, what were we just talking about? We got sidetracked.
Oh, being a short woman. Fault.
Right, yes, being a short woman.
Yeah, being a short woman's hard. It really is hard.
I'm sure it is. I'm sure. I don't have, like, any perspective on it.
Yeah,
but
no, I know. And that's why I know this is, like, that's a weird one to say, but I was like, honestly, like, when I look back on, like, what made me, like, being a shorty.
It's a great pick.
Yeah, being a short is something that defines me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and when people meet you, then that's, like, what they think. So I think that's exactly it. Like, they're gonna have a preconceived idea of you based on your height and your, like, vibe. And then I'm like, I better control this however else I can, because they're gonna like, subconsciously undermine me because I'm a short woman.
Yeah. Yeah, that's all. And I definitely see. Yeah, that's a great pick.
Yeah.
That's a really fun one.
Is that a fun one?
Yeah, no, that is a good one. No, it's a good one because, like, nobody else has had that perspective yet.
Really?
Yeah, so, yeah, that's, like, a good thing. Cool. It's, like, I had to learn a little.
Yeah.
What's the worst, like, or what's the best thing? Like, what's, if you had to pick, like, what's one really, really good thing
about
it?
Best thing about being short?
Yeah, worst and best. If you had to, like, narrow it down to one thing. Like,
worst and best thing about being really short. Well, I'm having a hard time thinking of exactly that, but I can say that, like, growing up, like, I wasn't, like, tall enough to do stuff. Like, I couldn't go. I remember I went to Disney World with my parents, and, like, as a kid, and I wasn't tall enough for, like, any of the rides. And basically didn't do anything.
That sucks.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not tall enough. I remember I turned to my mom, and I was like, if I buy a different shirt and stand on my tippy toes, do you think we could try it again? And she was like, I don't think so, honey.
That's so sad.
I ended up going when I got a little taller, but it's hard. I guess that's a bad story, but the worst would have to be having people like get a wrong idea of you and take advantage of you / knocking you over in a bar. Worst.
Absolutely.
The best thing about being short. Because, like, there's gotta be.
Yeah, I'm thinking,
why,
like,
are you so negative?
Yeah, that's why I want to hear, like,
yeah,
what's the one good thing that it gets you?
Honestly, and I know this is gonna sound stupid, but I feel like it makes me kind of unique.
Sure.
Like, I think, I think being short and having a big personality has been a, like, a good defining feature for me, too. I think maybe because I do take people by surprise, you know what I mean? Like, I kind of don't mind being known as, like, oh, like, that short, funny girl. Because it's like, if you're gonna define me as that, like, but, like, also, like, know that I have a big personality, like, that makes me happy.
You could do way worse.
Yeah, like, exactly, yeah. But I feel like it makes me unique if someone if someone feels that I'm, like, memorable and for a positive reason, if something else that makes me unique is the fact that they remembered me as, like, and she's super short, and that made me stick out in their minds more, then sure, I like it. And honestly, I don't really wish I was taller, although that's my Instagram bio. I wish I was a little bit taller, I wish I was smaller. But I don't like look in the mirror and like body image like shame myself. I'm like, I wish I was taller. I feel like myself. I feel like
have you said exactly how tall you are yet?
Oh. I'm 2 feet tall.
Yeah, it's like you've been a midget this whole time, or little person. Oh, now I'm in trouble with the internet. But no, how tall are you?
No, I'm 5 foot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pretty short.
5'0". Yeah, true. My mother is like 4'10". It's and like, my dad is 6'2".
Whoa. So you're like a carrier of tall.
Right, like imagine my dad had been shorter. Like, any shorter. Been
like a whole dwarf family. Yeah. Just like waddling around.
Yeah, hey, most kind of people get TV shows.
Yeah, I wonder if they still do. I haven't been keeping.
They do. Yeah, they do. People exploiting on that shit. Like, you think you're bad for saying that word? Someone is making a killing off of, like, exploiting that.
So many missions. They have a whole factory of them just making money.
One of the first sketches I ever did in a college improv show, or it was a sketch. It was a sketch, but it was, you know, Rent?
Yep.
Do you know about this?
Yeah, but tell the people.
So, it's the Seasons of Love. And if you know Rent, then you know that, like, it starts with a really strong piano, like, dun, 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 as, like, a bunch of spotlights, like, rays on a couple people just standing in the front. And it was all of us kneeling on our sneakers as the spotlight on, like, what, like, we have our heads down, like, raised as the piano starts. And then when we start singing, we just, like, 525,600
minutes. Makes me laugh every time. It's the silliest thing.
And then we did have more lyrics, but then we just, instead, when it came to the show, we were just like, let's just black it out right there.
That's such a good choice. Like, whatever the other lyrics are, that's so funny to have people just like, what? Yeah. Like,
and you know how that stupid thing where it is really funny to see somebody kneel on their shoes?
Yeah.
And be like, oh, they look really short. It's so funny.
That's so fun. I love it.
Yeah, so it's okay. We know you, like, have no problem with little people.
Yeah, no, I doubt any of them listen, so. And if so, come fucking find me, okay? we'll settle this.
Whoa.
Shit. I hope I get one tweet in my life, like, hey, yeah, like, you know, man, I'm like 3'4" and I'm mad.
That's his Instagram bio.
He's just like, I'm so fucking angry. Alright.
Yeah.
So we've arrived at this last thing.
Yeah. I feel like you can probably guess what it is.
Maybe.
I saved it for last because I figure, I don't know, it's improv.
I could have guessed.
Yeah.
But, yeah, improv. It's how we know each other.
Yeah.
You've been doing it for a long time. How many years now?
I guess I started when I was 18. I'm 25.
7 years. It's a long time.
Yeah.
It's a long time. So we met doing college improv, which was not like a lot of college improv, for sure.
Yeah, definitely not.
we didn't have like a, it wasn't like an open club that people just could go to.
No, it was a very douchey, exclusive, awesome, amazing club.
Yeah, we tried to, we tried to thought of ourselves as this like weird underground punk Herald team. Like we had,
it felt that way and it was.
It was. It really was. Just in the way Marist College works, the type of person that the average person is there is not artsy or like improv-y. So it, we did have to exist kind of like we're the misfits that are in this basement.
Yeah. And everybody has, you know this, Anthony, but everybody has a similar story. Like, we were all like, I was gonna transfer. I didn't feel at home at Marist. I just couldn't quite find my friends. I mean, I was duct taping my clothes, for God's sake, to be sexy. No, like, I couldn't find friends, like, that I felt were really got me, and I didn't really feel at home, and I was like, honestly, fuck this. I'm gonna transfer. I wanted to go to NYU. Like, I wanted to do something more creative. Like, I wanted to go to art school. I was a film major. I was a theater minor already, so I was, like, interested in the arts, but I never knew about improv. I really didn't. Like, I had only known about short form, and I had one foot out the door my second semester freshman year, and I saw a flyer for the improv team, and I think I remember, like, meeting a couple of them at, like, the activity fair in the fall, and I was like, you know what, like, the tryouts are coming up, like, I'm just gonna go, like, whatever, it'll be fun and stupid. And I think, like, what we had is, like, two nights of, like, workshops where they try to teach you how to improv so that when they try out, when you try out, you're not, like, totally clueless, which I thank them for because, I didn't know shit about improv.
Oh, my God. The first time you see it done anywhere even close to right, you're like, what the fuck kind of magic is this? Like, why are they, how do they do that?
Exactly. So I learned a little bit about it, and then I think, like, after the second workshop I did, I was like, okay, this means the world to me. If I don't make this team, I'm gonna kill myself. No, just kidding. I was like, oh my God, I don't even know what happened. I just was like, this matters to me so much all of a sudden, and I really, really want to make this team.
The way it's set up, because, like, I eventually joined this group too, and later ran these tracks. There's a weird level of intensity that's created for a short amount of time, and I think improv, it's because you're so vulnerable in the moment that, like, you're bonded so quick, or, like, those 4 days even of time make you seem so important. So, like, seriously, something on Thursday you heard of on Monday is, like, the life and death, like...
That's totally how it felt. I was like, wait a second, why do I, like, this is so important all of them.
And on the other end, it felt that serious too.
To you, you're like
the selection.
You better get right because you're gonna make the team. Better like show up. Like, it mattered a lot to us so much.
That was really the amazing thing about that group too. Was like it only existed because everyone in it cared so fucking much about it.
God. It would cease to exist if any, like, members of the group just decided they didn't care that much because the school doesn't really want anything to do with us, even though we're awesome.
Yeah, that's the only time we had any conflict with any, like, intergroup stuff was when someone was obviously not committed and sure. Yeah. Like, we would make people practice 3 times a week.
Mm-hmm. 3-hour practices.
I think we were the only ones who liked each other, so we all just hung out all the time anyway.
But that kind of brings me back to what I was saying, like, I tried out for the team, I made the team, and I met all of my best friends for the rest of my life. I live with the humorous is what our improv group is called.
Yep.
Humorous.
Yeah, I get
That's like a 25-year-old pun that we should probably just blame, like, John Gabris for.
Yeah, Gabris. Thanks a lot, man.
Former humorous, John Gabris. There's been a couple, like, pretty cool humorous.
Humorous was a rad thing that does not exist most places.
No,
or, like,
not that way, it felt.
So much creative freedom. I don't think there's people, like, I don't think Spielberg has as much creative freedom as we had with those videos.
Like, and then the outreach we were given, like, it's like, oh, we could make whatever we want, and then we can show it in front of, like, 300 people in the auditorium if we could get them to come.
But, like, paid to see it, and, like... A couple of the videos we have on YouTube have a lot of views.
I know. I mean, there's that one video that got, like, went viral in Asia.
That's so weird. Hundreds of millions of views.
But it's just because it's slightly sexual and they're not allowed to have porn.
That's definitely what it is.
That is what it is. Because, like, they really, they can't get any, they need to get anything that's, like, allowed on the internet that's slightly sexual to, like, get off.
When it has, like, hundreds of millions of views and gets comments, like, all the time. So I used to, in college, have it set up to send the emails from our account to my phone. Mm-hmm. So I'd be in class, and all of a sudden, I'd get an email. It'd be like, hey, a Gmail notification from Michael Jackson 6969. Where's the rest of the porno? So, like, if I was to ever leave my phone places, sometimes these emails would pop up, and people would be like, what the fuck is this? And then I have to show them an unfunny sketch from 7 years prior that I don't know anybody in. Oh, it's a horrible...
That's so funny. Oh, wow. I didn't think about the comments on that. I never read them. I read some of the comments on some of the ones that I made, we made.
Sometimes I love the ones that were in. I love the people that are like, this is not real. And it's like, we are children.
Idiot college improv team making joke courses.
It's like fake commercials are like, it's so dumb how anyone would consider that this was serious.
Yeah, no. That's really funny. But
that's a good segue, is that improv is taking nonsense seriously.
Yeah. Seriously. It really is. It's funny to see people take things seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, sort of the key to it, you know? But, like, I mean, improv to me means so much more just because, like I said, like, it... I, like, almost don't remember what I knew before all I cared about was improv. Or, like, not... That sounds so stupid.
I get, and improv's also one of those crazy things where it's like, now every single thing you know is important.
Yeah.
There's no, like, useless information anymore. It might come up at some point.
But I think that, like, it really teaches you to... Like, especially with, like, listening and, like, right, like, finding the beauty and the funny and everything, it makes for a more, like, joyful life, I think. And, mm-hmm. like, a way of being more, like, and they use that word a lot in improv, joyful. And at first I remember thinking, like, that's, like, silly or whatever. But it's such, like, a good way, I think, to describe, like, being joyful. It's just, like, you know, just, like, finding joy in things. Like, being, like, you know, that's, like... Makes me happy.
Yeah, which is, I hang out now with a lot of people who crap on improv a lot, and it's because they don't have any of that. There's no, they're not looking at it from a joyful perspective, and they're, like, confused by the improv kids because they all seem so happy and pleased with themselves. They're like, what we're...
Well, it's a team sport, you know? It's got a lot of collaboration. And honestly, like, I think the same skills that make me good at improv are make me good at my real job, like my like being collaborative, like looking on the bright side, like dealing with like problems together and shit.
Absolutely. I don't think I'd be as good at talking to people in general. Yeah. Like, I was, like, I felt like I was real awkward, and then it forces you to be, like, you surrender. I remember early on, you told me, like, you can't, there's no scenario where you're too cool to do any of this.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. Well, probably because there was some situation early on where everyone's, like, acting like animals on the ground or something, and I'm, like, half-assedly doing it. And it, like, it looks so much worse if you don't do it. It's like... The only thing you cannot do is nothing or, like, half-ass it. Like, if you commit, something's gonna happen.
Right. It's like, you will look so much better if you really just commit and, like, take that kangaroo impression to a 10. Because you look dumb when you're embarrassed to do it.
That's when, like, your fears are gonna come true.
Right.
Like,
you're like... You fulfill it yourself.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You have to be... But improv is so... improv jams are something new that I've like, because I don't have a team anymore, so every once in a while there are these things where you can go and sign up. It's like an open mic where they put six people who've never met together and they'll just do 10 minutes of improv, and it is crazy.
It's nuts. It's totally nuts. I do them too. I do jams, and actually nothing makes you maybe like feel like you've learned a lot or like improved than when you jam with someone who's like the worst. Like, what are you doing? You're like, hey, I guess I knew that.
It's people of all ages from all walks of, like, there's people that you're like, where did you come from?
Yeah,
you crazy person.
I there's this one jam I do fairly often, and there's a woman who comes all the time, and she has a hard time, like, it's like she doesn't know the first couple things about improv, which are like, she thinks that she needs to be in every single scene. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a Michael Scott type of thing, like, but, so, like, say she's in the first scene, and they're like, oh, hey, Denise, like, you know, like, you're making copies or whatever, and then the second scene, they're like, she never walked, someone sweeped it, but she never left the stage, so she's still making copies, and now they're, like, fighting a dragon, and then she's like, guys, like, I've got copies to make, and you're like, oh, no, it's Denise again, like, she's still on stage, like, but every week she does stuff like that, and it's like nobody ever tells her because it's like not their place, I feel.
Yeah, it's so not the spirit of what's going on. It's like if she's here, she paid her $3 or whatever it is, and then you.
She's here, and it's fun. It's so dumb and fun.
It's so weird knowing. Like, improv is like done best with people you know really well because you can kind of bounce off each other. But doing it with someone who you've never met before is terrifying. Like, sometimes. It's so hard to explain what I'm seeing. But good improv is great, and bad improv is really, really hard to watch.
Oh, yeah.
And also, there's two kinds. I guess that's a...
Of improv?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Short form. Long form.
Yeah. Short form is, like, not real life.
No, short form is, like, the basic, like, whose line is it anyway? Like, they get most of the information, like, location or characters. Mm-hmm. Long form's way better. You just... wing it. The difference between good and bad improv, I think, at this point for me is, like, if you showed somebody the show who didn't know it was improvised, and at the end you were like, and they didn't have a thing going in, and they were like, what?
Yeah.
That's crazy. But if you're like, and they just made that up, and they were like, oh yeah, totally, like, I get that, like, that's the difference.
Yeah, no, I think about that sometimes. I think what you want is, I think the ideal situation is that you go into it knowing that it's improvised, and that they're making it up. Because that makes its watching experience all the better, because you feel like you're part of it, because you're witnessing them come up with it. Also, you cut people a lot of slack subconsciously when you know that they are making it up right now, because it almost feels like you're watching, like, your friend, like, just like you're joking around with your friend, because it's being born right in front of you. So you're all of a sudden, you're part of it, and you're invested. And then if it is magical, and it does come full circle, and there are, like, amazing connections, and it does feel written, you're just like, what? Like, it just feels so much
more impressive
and satisfying. And then you go home, and you try to tell your friends about it, and they won't find it funny.
That's another great part, is, like, it's in the room, and it dies. Like, you can't explain it. It's hard to videotape, even. Like, videotaped improv usually looks weird and... Yeah.
You know, that's funny. People in the community talk about that all the time. Like, do you guys feel like you can preserve that feeling? Like, but you can never capture the feeling that it feels like when you're in the theater.
It's the best. Even at the height of my, like, comedy nerdism, I couldn't watch, like, Cage Match on YouTube. I was like, I need to be there for this to make any kind of sense. And, like, I would watch dumb crap.
I'll watch some stupid shit.
And this, it couldn't hold me.
I would, when I was at a point where I was, like, performing on this team a lot, I would watch, like, Cage Matches and Harold Nights, like, on the subway, like, on the way to the show.
Whoa. And studying?
Yeah, but, you know, I acted like I was studying, and I don't know, like, it was, like, a last bit, like, I would, and I still do, I perform still, like, once or twice a week, and, like, one way or another, and I'm, like, I still find myself, like, right before I'm starting, being like, oh my god, wait, I forgot everything. I forgot literally everything I know about improv. I don't remember it. I can think of one thing, like, and then...
It's like, yes, what?
Yeah, yes, who, yes, me? Yes, my, what? Yes, what? But I don't know, like, it just, I used to, like, panic and be like, let me figure it out. And then, you know, it all sort of floats away. And because the fact of the matter is that it either, like, what you learn lives in you or it doesn't. Like, you can be as mindful as you want about a certain aspect, but it's either, like, you've gotten to a point where it's in you and you're good at it, or you're working on it still. But it's so fun, and it's been, like, so defining for me. Like, it's crazy defining for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would have no, I don't even know who my friends would be had I never found improv.
100%. There's no way I would have made it through all 4 years of school without this. I barely did with it, so.
I know, I'm really glad. Anthony, here, you took over my phone.
Yeah, I did. You passed the torch down to me, and I realized what a heavy torch that was to carry sometimes. Yeah.
Luckily, I'm a control freak.
It was the first scenario where I had to, like, lead a group of people, and it was, like, interesting to see, like, how I was at that. I was so good at it for the first semester, through whatever adversity was there, and then the second semester, I realized I'm not great at people pushing back at me.
Yeah.
The first one, I ruled with an iron
fist.
That's
hard, though. That's a really good observation to make by yourself. A lot of people can't do that.
I don't know. It was just, that was when it started to get weird, was when someone just eternally felt like they were like, and I couldn't understand why they were doing it. It felt more just like
personal.
They're mad that they weren't in charge more than anything else. And it wasn't like personal or anything. It would happen more and more from like multiple sides, because the more that happens, it started so easy, and then by the end I was like, what the fuck is happening?
I know what you mean, and I think that sometimes like what we were talking about before, like, when people are shitty to you or, like, giving you a hard time, like, it's often not about what they're saying it's about, you know? So maybe in some ways it wasn't. Maybe they are pissed they're not in charge.
That was, like, what I tried to... I don't know how... Like, it just felt like there was tensions all the time.
Yeah.
And that was one of the guesses I had as to why, maybe.
I mean, it is weird. Like, we were one of the only groups on campus or clubs or whatever that didn't have, like, an authority figure. Like, we were a team, and we had one person that we all agreed was, like, the
director.
Director, we'd call it. And it's, like, and then I think, like, it took to be a good director, like, you have to be collaborative. But it's tough. Like, I struggled with the same exact thing.
You have to make the hard decisions. You have to, like, be the one that's, like, it's now on you if 30 minutes into practice nothing's been done yet. Like, that's your fault. Like, you have to circle people up and pick what's going on.
Definitely.
And you have to teach. That first semester, it was so easy because I had all new kids. I had one sort of new person, one returning person, and then three brand new people.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to just, like, run them through this boot camp of, like...
Yeah, all right, this is what we fucking do.
We need you to learn this now.
Yeah.
Like, we don't have time for later. Yeah. Like, we need you to get good at this now, and thank God. Some of the ex-guest Steve Luca, one of those three miracle people I found
Steve's
that were able
so
to learn that quickly.
That's awesome. I love that. I mean, and I think also it takes, but also something that I've learned in the humorous too, and I think that I learned this in workshopping each other's video and sketch ideas, because I think everybody comes in, like, loving their own idea so much that you sort of, and there's not a lot of room, like, we pick, like, 3 out of, like, 25.
For some context, we would write videos, sketches, and stage sketches, but the people coming in with these, we only tested them on their improv ability, so we have no idea if they have ever written, can write, want to write. They're just one day where we come into a practice and, like, oh, by the way, we need 2 in script format typed comedy sketches just by tomorrow, basically.
I did not think about how unreasonable that is.
We just spring it on them, and then, like, the older kids expect you to be like, no, write like you're on the fucking Tonight Show. Like,
I know.
It's really intense. I love people's first semester sketches because they're almost across the board crap because they don't know how to do it. So they have to see. But it's almost like another hazing thing in my mind now where I'm like, oh, let's see how badly they fuck this up. Like, it's written in Microsoft Word or, like...
Right, yeah. It's like, oops, you got a little...
It's set in a dorm room. That's a big one that drove me crazy.
Yeah, dorm room, totally. And it's like, oh, great. It's like,
the points that we're not the college. That's the whole point.
Oh, no, exactly. And, like, I think you're right. Like, I think you have to, like, write yourself out of that. But I think, like,
We took ourselves very seriously. And not... one of the punkier aspects... I loved that the school used to get mad at us for whatever reason.
Yeah, they hated us.
They wanted us out, and all we were trying to do was make jokes. We had dirty shows.
I fought for us.
Yeah, we had to keep doing it. It was crazy. Now they're protected. We figured out some kind of, clause where, they're in their own little zone.
Because they wanted to push us out, the administration at Marist. I'm not afraid to say it. I had some meetings where I was like, we are an important asset to this motherfucking school. You're making a big mistake by, taking us for granted. Like, not only do we have awesome ticket sales.
We outsold the plays sometimes, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Because, hello, where are the students? People feel like us. People like to laugh. People like to goof around.
And our shows are fun. You can get drunk and watch the thing and have, a good time. And people get high in the back of the theater. It's...
I know. Don't tell anybody that.
Oh, we didn't... That was always what I think I put on Twitter once. I was like, I can't legally condone that, but I'm not going to say it's going to make it worse.
Right. Oh, yeah. Anthony's gotten himself in trouble on Twitter.
Only with college.
Yeah.
And they still let me graduate, so really, what kind of trouble did I get in? It was more that I was calling for the firings of certain teachers on Twitter, and they got back to me. Yes, it did.
What?
It's the only reason I graduated. Is because one guy that I had two classes
that guy,
in,
that guy.
He was insane. It wasn't like this guy fucking crossed me, so I'm gonna pull some Cartman shit. This guy was a legitimate psychopath that was hired on one day's notice because a different teacher quit, and I kept tweeting real things he was doing, but tagging the school, being like, "Look at this, we're the number
there
this
pictures right
pictures." No, they didn't get a lot of the pictures, because, to pass time, I would, take Snapchat pictures and just, draw penises on his face and stuff.
I used to laugh at those. You'd be like, this fucking idiot is doing this.
Well, it'd be, 11 in the morning. I'd be, crazy stoned, because living with Kovacs, just that got out of hand real fast. And I didn't give a shit about his class, because all he did was talk about his own blog. He was teaching something called Current Issues in Modern Television. Only his blog that is about cable news.
Current Issues in Modern Television.
Already a hard... The whole program... That was another...
That's just a fake phrase.
Almost all film programs should essentially be look, in the first year, it's this long. In the second year, the movie's this long. In the third year, it's this long. Fourth year, it's the longest one.
Yeah.
Everything else is filler. There's so... How many times did we take a class where the first 2 weeks is the history of the camera and how it works and all?
Oh, my God.
It's the same fucking book for all of this. It's like, teach us how to screenwrite, how to edit, and then...
No,
give us a camera.
No practical skills, honestly. Zero practical skills that I get at school. Maybe, one.
No, I forgot all the camera stuff almost instantly, because they were taught by the oldest, most boring, irrelevant people, too, who were legitimately bad at their jobs in some cases.
I agree. I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, especially, but even, all the sort of more interesting classes, film theory, TV theory, cool, but, also, I need to get a job where I need to know what things on set are called, so why don't you teach me that so that I can be successful?
Yeah.
I can stop writing a 12-page essay on a single scene from Goodfellas.
Yeah, exactly. No one wants to smell their own farts about Annie Hall for an entire career. It's, a stupid way to go about things. She just teaches I'm Right 101. That's film theory. It's whoever is in charge of teaching it gets to decide the universe.
She hated Tarantino, too, and everybody ever our age, loves Tarantino, so we're all like, fuck you, lady, Tarantino rocks.
She hated him for the wrong reasons, too, because if you were like, oh, all he does is rip off old ninja movies, or, oh, he uses the N-word as a white person, I thought her argument was just that it was, drivel. She didn't have, a...
I heard her say both of those things, that it was racist.
Well, that was her favorite thing, everything was racist. There's this old lady from Mississippi who thought everything was racist.
She's not wrong about most things being racist, but,
she made some leaps. I heard her once say Star Wars was racist because space is black, so anything that takes place in outer space is therefore racist.
She's one of those people who, you can definitely get through an essay by being like, there's a shadow
made by the milk carton, which it represents, like, the pressure you feel from your mother after birth. Like, you, and she'd be like, good observation.
I remember I used to try to write about movies I like and get, like, C minuses, and then one time I picked one she liked and I got, like, a B plus, and I was like, what? Fuck you. Why can't I, like, I have to write about Falling Down and I can't write about Scott Pilgrim? Like, fuck you, lady.
Oh, Scott Pilgrim is such a good movie.
Apparently it holds no cinematic weight with...
She doesn't, like, think of it like that.
Well, that's super inside baseball. We should talk about improv.
Oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah, so improv. Yeah, I think it's, like, really important.
Really important and really good. Long-form improv is one of those things, too, like golf, where you can never actually get good at it. You can only sort of get better.
Agreed. Like, it's not like, okay, now I'm doing it right. Because obviously every time it's going to be different, too. But it's like, yeah, you just become more consistent. And I think you start to realize as you become more experienced, that, like, oh, I think I feel better when other people, when I'm setting up other people for stuff. And when you get to a point when you're with a team where, like, I want to make a move, but I really need them to be on the same page as me here. When you, like, go out on a limb for that and you set someone up for them to make the joke that you're hoping they're also thinking of and they do it, it's like jizzing. It's amazing. Great.
Oh my god, like, I think that's, no one's gonna make a better point than that. That seems like a good place to to call it.
It really is magical.
That's awesome. Yeah, check out improv. There's improv all around. Yeah. If you've never seen the improv show, go to the UCB or something and see it. It's amazing.
Magnet, Reckless Theater.
Yeah, if you don't want to shell out the $5 for UCB money.
They upped the price.
$10 now?
I want to say one of the weekend nights is 15.
What?
Or 12 or something.
I can't wait until people are like, I'm saving up to go see ASCAT. Like, that's like going to be a... It's gonna be a sad day.
I'm putting in the Harold Knight lottery.
Oh, that's so bad. Alright, well, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, I hope I was a good person.
Yeah, totally. I guess we'll let them decide, but okay. Alright, thanks for being here.
I hope you like me.
Bye.
Bye.